I put Cindy Sharp into Google and I found an interview she'd given to some magazine when Martin had gone to prison. Cindy Sharp talks about her heartbreak and all that. So I read this interview, and she lived in this village called Tawley Heath, about 40 miles outside London. And the interviewer described exactly where her house is in the village, opposite an old-fashioned corner shop, next door but one to the village school. We decided not to tell JJ we were going to visit Cindy. Maureen wanted to, but I was pretty sure he'd stop us for some bullshit reason or another. For example, it's none of your business. But we thought we had a strong argument. Maybe Cindy did hate Martin because he was a dog who went anywhere with anyone. But now he was suicidal, and so basically, if she wouldn't take him back, she had to hate him enough to want him to die. And that's a lot of hate. True, he hadn't ever said he wanted to get back with her, but he needed to be in a secure domestic environment, we felt. So we had a day out. We got the tube to Paddington, then the train to Newbury, and then the bus to this place, Tawley Heath. I'd been worried that Maureen and I wouldn't have much to say to each other, and we'd get really bored, and I'd end up doing something stupid because of the boredom. But it wasn't like that, mostly because of me and the effort I put in. I decided that I was going to be like an interviewer-type person, and I'd spend the journey finding out about Maureen's life, no matter how boring it was. The only trouble was that it was actually too boring to listen to, so I sort of switched off when she was talking and thought up the next question. The point was that we went through a whole journey to the middle of fucking nowhere without me asking her whether she had sex doggy style or anything like that. And I realised then that I'd come a long way since New Year's Eve. And that made me think that our story was sort of coming to an end, and it was going to be a happy ending. I'd grown as a person, and also we were sorting out each other's problems. We'd sort out Martin today, and then turn our minds to JJ, and then me, and then Maureen. And we'd meet on the roof after 90 days and smile and hug and know that we had moved on. The bus stop was right outside the village shop. We stood outside the shop and looked across the road and saw this little cottagey place with a low wall. And in the garden, there were two little girls in hats and scarves playing with a dog. So I went to Maureen. Do you know the names of Martin's kids? And she was like, yes, they're called Polly and Maisie. So I shouted, oh, Polly, Maisie. And they looked at us, and that was my detective work over. We knocked on the door and Cindy answered, and I was like, I'm Jess. I was, you know, linked to your husband in the newspapers, which was a lie, by the way. And she said, ex-husband, which was sort of unhelpful. And I went, well, that's the thing. And she went, is it? And I went, yeah, he doesn't have to be your ex-husband. And she went, oh, yes, he does. And we hadn't even gone through the front door. At that point, Maureen goes, do you think we could come in and talk to you? I'm Maureen. I'm also a friend of Martin's. We've come down from London. And Cindy said, I'm sorry, come in. So I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. She's soft. In 10 minutes, I'll have bullied her into taking him back. She showed us through the sitting room, and there was this nice-looking geezer sitting by the fire, and I thought, uh-oh, he's got his feet under the table, because he was listening to a Walkman with his shoes off. And you don't if you're just visiting, do you? Cindy tapped him on the shoulder and said, we've got visitors, and he was like, sorry, I was listening to Harry Potter. The children love it, so I thought I should give it a whirl. Have you heard it? So I was like, do I look 9 years old to you? And he didn't know what to say. Cindy said, it's Paul's dog that the girls are playing with. And I was like, yeah, so? But I didn't say that. Cindy told him that we were friends of Martin's, and he asked whether she wanted him to leave, and she said, of course not. Whatever they've come to say, I want you to hear. So I said, well, we've come to tell Cindy she should get back with Martin. Maureen goes, we're worried about him. And Cindy said, I can't say I'm surprised. And Maureen tells her about the bloke who topped himself because his wife and kids had left him, and Cindy said, you know Martin left us. And Maureen said, I think he knows that was a mistake. And Cindy goes, I had no doubt he'd realise it in the long term, and that by the time he did, it would be too late. And I said I thought she owed him another chance, and she said she disagreed. And I was like, so you want him to die then? She went a bit quiet, and then she goes, I thought about killing myself too when things were really bad. But I didn't have the option because of the girls. It's indicative of the way things are that he does have the option. He hated being part of a family, and I decided it was his business. If he had the freedom to fuck around, then he had the freedom to kill himself too, don't you think? And I went, well, I can see why you say that, which didn't help my argument. Did he tell you I wouldn't let him see the girls? Maureen said, yes. Well, that's not true. I just won't let him see them here. He could take them for weekends in London, but he won't. Or he says he will, but then he makes excuses. He doesn't want to be that sort of dad. He wants to come home from work, read them a story some nights but not every night, and go to see them in the Christmas play. He doesn't want all the other stuff. And I went, he's a bit of a tosser really, isn't he? She laughed. He's made a lot of mistakes. And Paul goes, if he were a computer, you'd have to say that there's a programming fault. So I was like, what's it got to do with you? And Cindy said, Paul is my partner and a wonderful stepfather to the girls. That's what it's got to do with him. Paul stood up and said, I think I'll take Harry Potter upstairs, and nearly tripped over my feet. Cindy dived over and was like, careful, darling. And then I worked out he was blind. Fucking hell. That's why she was trying to tell me he had a dog. Oh, God. So we'd gone to tell Cindy she had to leave a blind man and get back together with a man who shagged 15-year-olds and treated her like shit. It didn't sound great. As we were leaving, Cindy was like, I'd have more respect for him if he asked me himself. And I went, asked you what? And she said, if I can help him, I will. But I don't know what he wants help with. And I could see we'd done the afternoon all wrong. There was a much better way.